Hosting for this podcast is made possible through mtgcast.com, which is supported by a generous contribution from quietspeculation.com, Magic's premier trading and financial news site.
Hello and welcome to At Your End Step. This is Morgan McCarl and I'm joined with Mike Kenny and Jordan Kennedy, and we'll go ahead and get started with this week's podcast. So we definitely had a few exciting things happen over the weekend. So we're definitely going to talk about the large standard tournaments that we had, both hosted by Wizards as well as Star City Games. Star City Games actually had their Invitational this weekend, which is huge. And we also had a standard GP in Calgary as well. And then we'll kind of go ahead and, discuss Worlds Week, since that's what's happening this week, as well as the Hall of Fame. There was actually an article that Legit MTG posted that we wanted to discuss, and felt that it's important for us to kind of discuss that as being, voices of the community. And then we'll move into our question of the week, and then we'll go ahead and talk about a little bit about our contest, just so you guys all know about it. We definitely want more entries, and we want you guys to be able to win this awesome playmat that we're going to have up for grabs here. So let's go ahead and move into the GP and the Invitational. So did you guys watch any of the coverage this weekend?
I did not. I had no internet connection up in Michigan, so I was kind of...
That's right. We all traveled and stuff and did things for the weekend.
Yeah,
crap.
I just played Magic.
That's true. Yeah, Jordan and I, we went up to a PTQ in, we went down to a PTQ in Lexington, on Saturday, and the less said about that PTQ, the better, I would say.
More ways than one.
The best part about that PTQ was probably the food that we received afterwards, but, it was held at A-Plus Comics and Games. The store owner, we did talk to him, and he was super friendly, super nice. So we definitely say if you're in the Lexington area, go out there. It seems like a great place to play F&M and everything like that. So much love for them for hosting a PTQ. They definitely were not expecting the large crowd that they got, but, things like this happen all the time with stores. And, we as a community always want to hope that this is a learning experience for them, and that this won't happen next time, hopefully. But it was a bit crowded. It was a bit of a challenge for not only them but the player base. So, like I said, going X2, driving 3 hours and going X2, not necessarily a fun experience, but that them's the break sometimes. But of course, we have these invitational lists and these open lists and these GP lists of these people that did not go X2. And the first thing that we wanted to discuss was the GP in Calgary. Definitely some interesting lists come out of the top eight. Mike, there was one that you wanted to talk about specifically. Did you want to pull it up and have us take a look at it?
The one I was talking about was Jacob Wilson's list, which is a blue-white control list. I don't think really... choice-wise, it's really that groundbreaking. Like, it's definitely something that was much more popular earlier in the format, like closer to regular Flash.
Yeah, certainly.
What I thought was interesting was the fact that you see a deck with 8 islands and 7 planes.
Yeah, Burning Earth's the card, right?
Well, so if you look in the top 8, you look at Adam LaForest, his mono red list had 4 Burning Earths in his main 60. So I think it's interesting that you already had, without a lot of results, you already had some interesting sort of metagaming happening.
Yeah, most certainly. I mean, with a new format, you kind of got to expect that not everyone's going to not just choose to continue to ignore Burning Earth as a viable card, especially with Jund being so prominent. So it's not surprising to see, lists cut a third color and just become straight XY decks. We see that even with the black green rock decks that are kind of popping up. One piloted by Jeff Hoogland in the Invitational top 8, just cutting that extra color and just trying to go to a more basic focused mana base. We definitely can see that. Looking at this blue white list. And, you know, one thing when Mike brought this list up before the show, I was like, Aetherling, why is no one playing that card? And he suggested...
So good.
I know. And you suggested that, you know, you're just dead before you get to cast it, which is, you know, pretty unfortunate, because any time that I've ever had an Aetherling resolved against me, like, I just feel like garbage. I just feel like I can't do anything. Like, they just have mana open. Like, how am I ever going to get rid of that? And it's such an effective clock, and it just closes out the game so quickly. I just don't understand why that card just isn't running tables. Like, I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't understand necessarily how this whole thing works, but I just always feel very oppressed by Aetherling if it's played by a competent player.
I mean, definitely, I've tried as hard as I could early on with Bant to cast Aetherling, but I will say, like, Aetherling, as good as it is, it does nothing unless the board is pretty much empty. You know what I mean? Like, you can still attack into an Aetherling if you're ahead, and it doesn't stop things like Angel Serenity, or especially Thunderbolt Hellkite from getting through. Right. Like, Thunderbolt Hellkite's like, oh, sweet, Aetherling. I'm still going to hit you for 5.
Yeah.
And definitely, like, this deck runs all 4 verdicts, so, like, you're trying to clear the board beforehand, but they're just...
It sounds like we might have lost Mike there. I'm sure that he will be back here in just a moment. So, we'll go ahead and...
Move on, yeah, no,
Yeah, we'll go ahead and move on, sorry about that, guys.
There's not a whole lot else you can do
about it. Mike will be back
with
us here.
I'm gonna have to...
Mike will be back here in a sec.
I'm gonna have to actually just not sleep behind my microphone.
So, let's go ahead then, and we'll actually move into the list that I want to take a look at. It was a second place list. It's a Jund list. It was piloted by, Stefan Gerard, and he was actually piloting a little bit different of a list than we're traditionally seeing, mainly no Farseek. So that's kind of just a huge thing in my eyes as something that's just completely different. What do you think about that, Jordan?
You were nice. You said completely different. I think it's completely wrong. And yeah, like, oh, he top 8'd at the GP, sweet, but like, dude, how many hands have you had that were, like, okay because there was a Farseek? Or how many hands have you been, like, man, ripping a... Like, you can't turn 3 a Huntmaster. We talked about on the car on the way back from the PTQ, Jund feels so bad when you're on curve. With this deck, you are always on curve.
Yeah.
True,
but on that note, I think the main thing that's different from this list is he doesn't run 4 Farseek. So he gets room for 4 Lifebane Zombies as his additional card that he's playing. And I think that it does play well with the rest of the list being that, you know, if he's on the play, someone can Farseek, and then he, you know, goes to his turn 3. After they play their turn 2 Farseek, he plays his Lifebane Zombie and takes their threat that he's trying to ramp into. I know that you know, it's a certain, you know, level of plays that has to exist, but I mean, like, he's definitely working towards that in playing this list. And I think it is targeted for the green heavy metagame that we have right now. So we'll, you know, kind of take a look at this list as it goes forward. I still see most people still going towards the traditional 4 Farseeks. And you know, Farseek is what many people say the best card in Standard right now. So, I can appreciate him going somewhere different with the list, because I think it's allowed us to, make changes in our own list, Jordan.
Sure.
So I think that's something that we definitely can take from this, at the very least. That Lifebane Zombie is a card, and a lot of people have actually been making, you know, allusions to the card being very similar to a blue-blue one card with Evasion. Some might know it as Vendilion Click. So I don't know if I'd make that lofty of a comparison, but
oh, yeah,
you know,
that's bad.
There are some...
Yeah, I don't think that's true at all. But
yeah,
whatever.
I'm not gonna play.
I'm just saying. There's some people.
I'm not gonna play a card on curve at 3 with, by the way, 2 with double black, which is really awkward when you want like this green for your ooze, like this double black card that just dies to a tragic slip the same turn you play it. I don't like it's a mirror breaker. I definitely, like we talked about before the show, Stefan incorrectly was probably just saying, you know, 30% of this field is going to be Jund. What can I build that just cracks a Jund in the head? And that's this deck. And I completely, you know, I completely hear his reasoning, but I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to, no. I like Life Bane Zombie on the sideboard for Jund. I think it's an interesting choice, but like, you're playing a turn 4 Huntmaster, a turn 5 Thragtusk, and then you're behind on land for Rakdos for turns and bonfires, which just doesn't seem good either. I don't know. I don't want to hit on the deck.
Plays 4 bonfires and 2 Rakdos returns.
Right.
Right. Right. Like, you want all this mana, and you want to be able to Rakdos your opponent, A, first, so you want the thinner deck, and B, for more, so you want the more land. It's weird. I don't want to say it's bad, because, you know, it's top 8 at a GP, and those are really skill-intensive tournaments. So, you know, to date to a... you know, cash at a GP is a very skill-intensive tournament, but at the same time, I'm not ready to play 4 Lifebane Zombies main board without a way to fix my mana. I don't know.
Yeah, I could definitely see that point as well. And I'm like, I would really like to see an article, you know, by this player or like anything from him, just to see how, you know, that went. But you know, it's not something I expected.
Yeah.
And the winning list. From the GP, was piloted by good old Alexander Hain, you know, Pro Tour, champion. And he was piloting a blue, white, red list, very traditional, from what we've seen. He did have a one of Mutabolt for in his mana base, which is pretty cool. And, but, you know, other than maybe the, 3 Thundermaul Hellkite in the sideboard, like, I would expect to see this at, you know, if you have a blue, white, red player at your local, shop, this is what I would expect them to be packing this week. But yeah, so, I mean, that was the GP. You know, standards is definitely looking to be interesting, definitely filled with Jund, so if you do, are going to a bigger tournament, a PTQ, Star City Games Invitational, or an actual Star City Games tournament, you know, expect to see lots of Jund, and probably Blue, White, Red being very popular this week. Moving on to the Invitational, with the decks that we see here, you know, we definitely see, you know, Jund mid-range, Naya mid-range, excuse me, 2 blue, white, red flash decks, and then Jug Aristocrats, Ban Hexproof, and the 2 interesting decks, I would have to say, are probably the 7th and 8th place lists. They were Junk Reanimator, which is, you know, still in the format, apparently, and Black Green Midrange, piloted by Dustin Flora and Jeff Hoogland, respectively. Now, being a former Junk Reanimator player myself, I really do like Flora's list, mainly just because he's playing Blood Baron of Viscopa, and I think that card's insane right now.
The card is insane right now. So good against so many decks.
Right, exactly. Like Jund, we can block it. We can block it with Thraktusk. I mean, that I guess that's our out to it. We can kill it with Bonfire, which is pretty hard to do hard cast, but we can, sure. A lot of our creatures do block it, though. But we don't have any main deck removal spells for it. We don't play Mizzium Mortars anymore, for the most part. So, I just think the card's insane. I guess I just don't think the deck can really be this resilient. But some part of me hopes that I could just leave this up and just be fine with it. I'm just not sure that I can beat the turn 2, you know, ooze at this point in time. But... God love you, Dustin Flora. Keep the dream alive. Keep it alive, please. Him and Bronduin are you know, playing Junk Reanimator. They both did, and
doing what they love.
I should just go back to it. The ooze. He calls me. He wants me. The slime. He wants me to do it.
Does he really call you?
He does. Like, he calls me. He goes, "Hey, Morgan. I know I haven't seen you in a couple weeks, and like I just miss you. And I don't want. I didn't mean for things to get weird. I know there was this other ooze that came into your life, and I mean I'm cool with that. I guess it's just I just want you back.
Maybe come back.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
That happens. That's a real
thing. It did really happen.
It did. And then the other interesting list was a black-green mid-range deck. Honestly, I have heard and seen a lot of this. Not a lot. It's still a pretty... I think this was a good weekend for this list because it's also appeared in the GP that we didn't talk about, but kind of want to save it for here because our other decks are a little dry in this section. So, but it's piloted by Jeff Hoogland, who's a pretty prominent Midwest player. And pretty prominent just in general on the Star City scene. But this deck kind of got a little bit of a boost with cards like Lifebane Zombie and Scavenging Ooze. This deck does play out with similar plans as Jund. I think it's a bit more control-y, but I kind of like this list. I really like Mutilate as a card. Gives Granite. He gets to play Sign of Blood, which is pretty cool. And then, you know, you just have awesome removal, awesome threats, and you get to play with a lot of Planeswalkers, you know, a total of four, in the main deck. And then you also have another Liliana in the side. So you play with three Lilianas, one Raska. I don't know, what do you guys think about this list?
You know, I like the list. We had a friend of ours, like, around here who was trying it out, but I watched his, I think it was his quarterfinal match,
mm-hmm.
and he played against, I think it was the other blue white red flash player.
Right.
And he got ripped apart.
Yeah. I imagine.
And with that deck having a rise, like, you have a really good, like, that card just out card advantages you, and, like, drag tests just aren't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was, I don't know, it was bad. It was like, ooh, this is painful to watch. Yeah. So, I like the deck, I definitely do, but you're gonna lose any real control, to any real control deck with blue most of the time. And that's rough.
I can see that definitely being a problem for the deck. I just don't think they have a lot of firepower against, you know, control decks.
And how do they beat the Sphinx's Wrath? You just can't do it.
Yeah, it's hard for a lot of decks to beat a really powerful Sphinx's Wrath, but this deck just, I don't think you get back from it. That would be the downside. You know, you can't really lean on the back of your Planeswalkers. I mean, Liliana definitely is helpful, but, you know, they have Restoration Angels, which, you know, kind of laugh in the face of Liliana a little bit a lot of the time. It's definitely awkward.
The way I feel about this list, sorry, I don't know if I'm behind, because I think I'm cutting people off.
Fine.
Like, the way I feel about this list is that it's trying to do the things similar to what Jund's doing, control you with the demon, you have all your kill spells, all that Jund has, but it's just missing a color, and it's just missing good cards. I don't know if that's correct, but that's kind of how it feels to me, is like people are like, yeah, I play the Rock, and you're playing the Rock to, like, be trendy and, like, you know, be on the edge of things, but, like, you're really just playing a bad Jund deck. You're trying to do what Jund is doing, but worse sweepers like Mutilate are really good. And I wish people would play them more, but at the same time, like, you could play that in Jund, and for the same exact value of, like, neg 3 takes care of your problem cards like Boros Reckoner and stuff like that. I don't know. I'm also tired, so I'm
gonna get to play around Burning Earth. You do get to play around Burning Earth by playing a lot more basics than Jund ever could.
Oh, yeah, most certainly.
True.
And, like, that's like, the largest benefit to it is just, like, yeah, having access to basics, having just not having to worry about that stupid card. Oh gosh, that card. Ugh. So yeah, I mean, that was the Invitational. It was won by a Jund deck, and they were playing a relatively traditional Jund list from what I can remember. It was Eric Smith. The only thing I see in here is he has two Mizzium Mortars, so... everything else seems pretty traditional after that.
I want to talk about the Naya midrange deck for just a minute.
Oh, yeah, because I think it looks familiar to a deck that we might have seen.
I mean, it's very, like, this is definitely the main deck that I'm pushing for. I think I'd play, at least I was playing one less Scavenging Ooze,
mm-hmm.
but overall, this is pretty much where I was at. So, like, if you are looking at what, like, Naya probably should look like, this is really good. The sideboard, though, I don't know how this deck. I really don't know how this deck plays Burning Earth. And if you watch the finals of the Invitational, I got to watch the last few things here. And, like, at one point, you played a Burning Earth against his Jund opponent. His Jund opponent just, like, played a Thragtusk, so came out even. And, like, he couldn't beat the Thragtusk, and he killed himself trying to get around it. and then he just didn't cast it again because he wasn't ahead enough on board. Mm. And it's really hard to stay ahead of Jund sometimes. So I like the idea of it, but in a deck where you're only playing two forests, and honestly, like in my list, I went back down to one. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I agree. Yeah.
I like the deck a lot. I think going forward, Scotty Mack and Willie Edel had suggested Sigarda again on the sideboard,
yeah,
which is really good against Jund. And I think I'm actually going to change Township out for Kessig Wolfrun.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Honestly, I think this should have been obvious. I'm just saying with Sublime Archangel, like, it makes more sense. But it also, like, I think it's a little bit better, especially when you might have to just go all in on one threat against Jund.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. I really do like Sigarda. I think that's a great way to go.
Yeah, I agree.
This deck, I mean, the main deck is pretty sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but it's got some weird sideboard choices, like I said. Go on.
It's so bad. I don't know what it is. I'm sorry, listeners. This will be the worst episode of At Your Instep.
I keep pausing, and then I'm like, all right, well, I guess he's not going to talk.
It's normal. Let's let Jordan talk now.
Like, wait, am I actually just behind, or is, like, am I just, like, trying to say something and then stopping awkwardly?
I think you're just stopping awkwardly. It's okay. Cool, though.
All right, well, that's good. I just need to be, like, assertive and stuff. Like, yeah, if you're not playing the Sublime Archangel version...
Shut up, Jordan.
God, I keep thinking, like, dang it, all right. If, you're not playing the Sublime Archangel version, I think Gavinny might be right, because you're swinging with multiple threats. Like, one of our buddies that listens to the show and isn't afraid to tell us what we're doing wrong plays it without the Sublime Archangels. And I think Gavinny might be correct for him, but like you said, you're only going to have one target that's swing-a-ling in anyway. So, I don't know.
It's just a lot of tryout.
Yeah,
The township has been good, and honestly, early on you weren't playing any because you were so mana hungry. But like sometimes you just need that edge. But I think going forward, I'm going to try at least this next week. I'm going to try. It's just a one of Wolf Run, so it's not like it's going to change. That you know, you don't see the township that often anyways. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we'll see.
I like it. I definitely like it.
But don't play Burning Earth in your sideboard. I can't.
Yeah, that's just
you should honestly. This here's the thing. Like the way I'm testing it, like you should be playing probably Oblivion Rings again. Because you lose to Burning Earth. So I don't know.
Or even... I don't know. I might sound stupid for this. The green-green or white-white disenchant that can populate.
Honestly, like that's not too terrible. It can be tough to cast sometimes. Like if you're trying to like stay on curve. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I definitely like it. I obviously only have one target to populate. But if you ever do get to populate a voice tree... Oh, God.
Yeah, exactly. Like just like the one of chance.
What's wrong with Ray of Revelation? Does it just not hit enough targets and Oblivion Ring's a little more versatile, or like
I have no desire to bring Ray of Revelation in the case. So like a mono red deck is mm-hmm. you know is going to have Boros Reckoners too, and Oblivion Ring's really good against Boros Reckoner because it's a clean way to get rid of it.
Yeah, or even like a Chandra's Phoenix. Like that's a great answer for that card.
So the Ray of Revelation is so like that's a. It's a very narrow type of card, and it's not good against just that one enchantment because it's doing enough else. Yeah.
That's fair. That's what my question is. It's too narrow.
Yeah. And lastly, the actual open event was super interesting. It was also won by Jund, so it was a very good weekend for Jund.
No way, not Jund.
Oh, man. And they're like, there are. One,
don't even count.
Two, three, four. There are half the lists in here are Jund midrange decks. So, I guess that's kind of the deck that has a target on its back. But there was a surprising second place list, piloted by good old Baby Huey William Jensen, and he was piloting green white elves. It's actually a green white ramp, pretty much. So you have things like four Arbor Elf, Elves and Pilgrims, and Elvish Mystics, Elvish Archdruid, four Craterhoof Behemoths, you know, just four of them, four Hydra of the Colonian variety, two Smiters, and four Wolfhear Silverhearts, along with four Garrick Color of Beasts. This is a big boy list. Yeah, it's a big
three Acidic Slimes in the sideboard.
Hey, well, I don't really want to invest in Colonial Hydras right now, or Garrick Color Beasts, but my gosh. This is definitely an interesting list, like, especially with a field full of Jund, like, what? in honesty, I guess they just get out, like, turn three big dude, like, deal with it, like, that seems insane. I don't know what to say about this list. It's crazy. It's just crazy. I think it's very similar to the elf ball list that was running around late last season, made by Kurt Crane. But this is definitely crazy.
I mean, it's very much all in.
Yeah, so. I completely agree with that. But I wish that I got to see some of these games on camera of him playing this, just to see, like, you know, how it played out, like what. You know, what happened with him playing Liss? Was it just like, turn X, Colonial Hydra, deal with it, turn X, Silver Heart? Like, it just seems so crazy that this Liss could go so far, because they didn't necessarily think that this kind of Liss that's so heavily based on creatures would be so good in a heavy Jund bonfire removal sort of metagame that we have right now. So,
This deck can play Garruk on turn three, which is, and it's, I'm assuming it does it fairly consistently with 12 mana guys.
So, I would hope so.
That's pretty terrifying. You're just like, a turn one mana guy, turn two double mana guy, turn three Garruk, turn four Creative Behemoth.
Yeah, no, that's
turn five. You're embarrassed. You're just embarrassed.
I actually, this is funny that we're talking about this. The FNM before the PTQ this past Friday, after FNM I went to another store to hang out with some people to play a little bit of EDH, and the guy who was playing this deck actually wanted to test this against, you know, a bonfire Jund deck, and he goes, I just want to test against Jund. I was like, what are you playing? He goes, doesn't matter, let's just play some games. I was like, okay. I didn't keep a hand with bonfire in it. I just kept like a turn two Farseek, turn, you know, ideally turn three Huntmaster, turn four Thrykdusk. He just drops Creator of Behemoth on turn four with a billion elves, and I was like, oh. Like, he went elf, 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 and I was like, oh, elf ball, this is cute, and then like, Creator of Behemoth. Or like, if you don't have Creator of Behemoth, Garruk, draw Creator of Behemoth. Like, and it was just like, my mind exploded at how much fun he was having. Now, like, we played a sideboarding game, I had Bonfire in my opening hand with Farseek, I was like, okay, turn two Farseek, go, next turn, Bonfire for, you know, one, and you're dead, and, this is awkward, like,
cause he's and like, it just, your deck just fell apart.
Right, like, he was like, oh yeah, I was planning on playing, Creator of next turn, this game changes if you don't, and I was like, well, obviously, but... Like, my deck falls apart if you counter my Thrytusk. So, you know, like, so that was that. I mean, it's a fun deck. It looks like it's actually really, really fun to play, or very, very frustrating. Because you either have that nutty start and they don't do anything about it, or you don't do a turn three Creator of Behemoth. So.
It's true.
I'd play it for FM.
I just can't suggest someone investing in this deck with the price that the Hydra is, or even the price that Garruk is. I mean, he's actually jumped up a little bit in price, going up to $1,734 on like TCG Player, which is a pretty cheap way to get cards most of the time.
You are buying standard cards. I will say that. Like, I still please not buy Colonial Hydras for $30 or $40, but. I mean, you are buying standard cards if you, like, get Garrucks and stuff. Like, I'm not saying it's a good idea, but at least you're not, you know, buying rotating ridiculousness.
That's true. If there are places to invest, purchasing Garrucks probably isn't a bad idea. I mean, at the very least, maybe a deck picks them up and there it is, but, with Farseek rotating out and, you know, no hope, not necessarily any guarantee of ramp being a viable strategy, him being a six mana, it might not look better. But, you know, it's definitely interesting to see. And I'm sure, like, this deck will pop up and continue to pop up, you know, even with this Jund-saturated, you know, metagame.
Right.
So.
Well, it's interesting. On Monday Night Magic, which you guys should totally go check out if you've never listened to before. We talked about this deck a little bit, and Jeremy Schofield on there said that he sees this deck as the Naya Blitz of this standard, which I thought was interesting, but when you think about it, it really is. It's all in, and if you don't win early and your opponent has on answer,
yeah, you don't
die.
Win.
So, but if you just nutter butter, then you just win, and you can... You know, you can X2 your way to a cash and think you're sweet and then go die when you play a real deck. story of my life. So, but like, you can just go like, elf, crater, hoof, die, and like, you're done, and that's, go home. Like, that's sweet. So,
yeah, those are your games.
So I don't know, do you guys think that's an accurate, we don't have to talk forever on that, but do you think that's an accurate description? This is the Naya Blitz of the standard?
I mean, I don't mind the comparison. It definitely is trying to do one thing and one thing only, and that's blow you out.
That's true. I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. So we have a TCG player VIP event at our local store. So before we move on to our next topic, any updates or changes that you guys are trying to make in preparation for that tournament?
I will play... Oh, my God. I will.
Sorry, you're good. Just keep talking.
Okay.
Just keep talking.
I'm so nervous. I'm sorry. I will play more Lily Miz on my sideboard. My two losses at the PTQ were to Ban Hexproof, and that doesn't feel good. And there's never a play I make against Ban Hexproof where if I lose against Ban Hexproof, I feel like I'm an awful player. Even if they turn two guys turn three Spectral Flight every single flipping game, I still feel bad. Like, I made some grave mistake where I'm like, oh my god, do I block now or do I block next turn and hope they don't have a pump spell? Like, they always give you, like, the player that's playing Ban Hexproof gives you a look of, no matter what you do, your efforts are futile. And it feels awful. So I'm going to play probably four Liliana. I'm going to play four Lilianas probably just as and Barter and Blood. And just be ridiculous about it. Cause there's no other matchup I feel bad about, to be honest. I do believe Jund is the best deck in the format if Ban Hexproof doesn't, you know, roll the dice right.
Yeah, I mean,
we're just doing bad today, guys.
That's, I know, it's terrible.
I mean, definitely, Ban Hexproof is definitely something to fear. I know I already said I'm going to try out some Sigardas, get in some O-rings, and I don't know. I feel like this is frustrating because you want to, like, there's a couple lists I've considered switching to, but I don't want to pick up, like, it's like, oh, we'll just play this list, you would need an Olivia, which is not junk. But I'm just like, well, I don't want to pick up any Olivias because that sounds bad.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, in all honesty, I've seen some Olivias pop up in modern lists for Jund. So, I mean, it's not necessarily prominent, but I mean, I've seen it. So, Olivia might still have some life after Standard, which is good. I think that card's good. So, it'd be nice to see that card, you know, continue to exist, especially with the Legendary rule. And I think that's why people have been starting to play her over things like, you know, Huntmaster in the Jund list, because she's really powerful and she doesn't die to herself anymore. So, you know, something definitely think about. Not saying, you know, buy up all the Olivias, but maybe not a terrible investment if you can repopulate her in another deck that you're using. The only thing I really want to change is I was really inspired by Lifebane Zombie. I don't like the Arbor Elves in my deck anymore. I don't want to be drawing them. Like, they felt miserable unless I started with them, and at the PTQ I never got to start with the, you know, the awesome Arbor Elf draw. I lost to a green white deck, and I lost to Jund. So I lost the mirror match and I lost to a green white deck. And I feel that Jund, you know, going forward is still going to be one of the most popular decks that I will be coming across, especially here in our local metagame. That being said, I really want to try out Lifebane Zombie, and I really want to try it out my main. So I've taken out the Arbor Elves and the Forests, tweaked my mana base a little bit, and gone ahead and gone with two Lifebane Zombies main. And I'm even thinking about maybe making it a third in some way, but I don't really want to cut any more removal, because I took out an Abrupt Decay for something else. So it's a bit difficult, and I'm hoping that it works out. I really want to test it out. But you know, it's something I think that card's good, and I really want to try it out, and I really want to test it and see if it's as good as I think it is. But yeah, I think that's the only thing that I'm going to change right now. I can't think of anything else. Like, I've been looking at other lists online, just to see if there's anything that, you know, if there are any lists that are really popping up that are showing up that could be problems, but I've just seen a lot of Jund, so I want to prepare for Jund. So that's, you know, all the standard happenings that have been going on, and, you know, we definitely wanted to bring up this interesting article written at legitmtg.com about the Pro Tour and the Pro Tour Hall of Fame, more specifically, and it being World's Week, and meaning that I believe that the ballots have already been cast, correct?
I think they so as we're podcasting this, you know, it's Tuesday night. I think it's like coverage for us starts at like 6 in the morning tomorrow.
Right.
Like, so I think it's the first thing they're doing is announcing. So like it'll be quick. Like by the time this goes up, they'll have announced the Hall of Fame.
Oh man, that's so exciting!
So wait, 6 a.m. like 7 hours from now?
Yeah. I'm getting up early, buddy.
Dude, are you?
I'll be up at that time, guys.
Do you guys want to be on Skype?
I'm not kidding. My wife's. I don't know about that. My wife's probably pissed though. She's like, "Oh, you got up for this?" I'm like, "Well, yeah, it's magic, and still
it's slap Magic the Gathering."
No, you know what? Though I don't want
to talk
to anybody.
Magic on the TV.
Yeah, I'm gonna get up and come down here and watch it. That's pretty sweet, actually. I didn't know that was this early, because I know it's like a week long thing. Like it's 5 days, but I'm not gonna be able to watch a lot because I'm on vacation. So actually, no, I get to watch a ton. I'm just gonna put it on my phone. I'm gonna watch Magic near my card for my vacation.
Oh man, so exciting!
It's gonna be the best.
So, Jordan, tell us about this article and sort of the you know, drive behind it. Why it exists.
Mike is the one that put it in the show notes.
Okay.
But I mean, Mike and I have a pretty similar opinion on it. If Mike put this article in there and I read this article and was like, I'm 100% with this guy. Do you want to go ahead and give a sketch, Mike, since you probably read a little more thoroughly than I have, and then I can just kind of comment on.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the article is titled, The Pro Tour Hall of Fame is Broken. It's by Trevor Holness. It pretty much it goes down to break down the fact. I mean, obviously, the Hall of Fame is like essentially crap. Like none of us regular players should care about it, and it's also like the voting system is broken, and the way it's set up isn't like it's not. It's a Pro Tour Hall of Fame, not really a Magic Hall of Fame.
Right.
And there's all these weird like you have players who can vote, and only players at certain thresholds can get in. But we're not honoring like the creator of the game or people who have like. He compares it to a lot of the other pro sports, like their Hall of Fames and how there's different sections and how that can be broken down. And honestly, like I'm going to say it's embarrassing, really, like how like easily he can broke this down. Like, hey, this should be getting done, and it isn't being done. So yeah. I mean, I really agree. Like stuff like commentators, like so if you guys have been paying attention to the voting, you know, on Twitter, on all the different websites, like Chris Pecula, you know, Meddling Mage. It has been like a huge deal. Like, oh, he needs to get in. He missed his vote. Like, you know, maybe he doesn't need to get in as a player, but maybe there should be a section for how he helped the judge program and how he pushed forward modern play. Like how we have judges and we punish cheating and everything else. Or someone like, you know, our commentators who, you know, if you've commentated for years, you're not going to get into the Hall of Fame as a player. You shouldn't. But why couldn't you get in as a, you know, as a commentator? Coaches get in for football. Commentators get in for football, every other sport. I don't know. I mean, that's sort of my thought on it, but we can spin it off from here.
No, I pretty much exactly agree. This, unfortunately, there was that article series that we discussed on this show about the coverage of Magic and how it kind of fails, and it was like a multiple part series, and we kind of tore certain aspects of it apart. But this was one of the parts of that article series on Star City where he's saying, like, we're just not right. Like, I'm going to read a quote. With the exception of baseball, the voting pool is small for Hall of Fame things, ranging from 18 in hockey to 46 in football. And then he goes on to say there's like something like 315 people that vote in the Magic has 315 voters. Mm. Should the voting for our Hall of Fame be this thing that takes up articles on Star City and Twitter and, you know, like, I like what he says in here. Somebody that has just enough pro points to vote, but is still probably like a rando Joe, like, man, LSV and, or, you know, like, or Brian Kibler is voting for this guy. I should vote for this guy.
Yeah,
not necessarily true. Like, you should vote for the guy that you best represents what the hall is. And that's even in the midst of this flawed voting thing where there's no way for a BDM to get in, for, like you said, Rich Garfield to get into the game. And that blows my mind, like, that, what is it, Peter Atkinson, the founder of the Wizards, because he explains some of these people that should make it in there, Sheldon Minnery, whatever. Like, I completely agree. I don't know, Morgan, what do you think? Because the hall sucks. I agree with the change.
I mean, I agree that, you know, that this article definitely brings up some great points, and I fully endorse there to be some sort of revamping. Just due to the fact that our game has gotten so large, like, I don't think that when the Pro Tour Hall of Fame was first thought of, I don't think that the entire scope of where Magic is now was thought of, you know, necessarily. I mean, when the Pro Tour Hall of Fame was started, maybe they just thought, like, hey, this would be an interesting thing that we could do for, you know, a player base, like, put a carrot in front of the nose of our players and make them keep going to try to get this, you know. Maybe that's what they thought of, but now, like, the game is so expansive and huge comparative to other, like, card games. So why not, you know, celebrate the vastness that this game has actually created? Why not celebrate commentators? Why not celebrate, you know, people that influence the game that aren't necessarily pro-level players? I'm not saying that, you know, we should, go crazy, you know, but I mean, like, there are people that need to be honored for you know, either making this game entertaining, you know, providing us the game itself. Like, there just needs to be something that goes on that honors these people, so that, you know, they get the recognition that they do deserve, and, you know, I think as a player base, we feel that they deserve. I feel that a lot of people, in all honesty, would want to change like this, because I think our community as a whole wants to not only honor the pro players, the people that get 150 pro points and then have slipped away. Not saying that they don't deserve a place in a Hall of Fame, but there are so many more people that make this game what it is that don't necessarily get that high profile recognition, and they should.
So maybe we should have the Oscars for Magic?
I mean, sure. Well, I mean, why not? I mean, maybe not something that's like a... I mean, that could be, you know, something that is interesting, like an award show. But I think that there's definitely something that there could be yearly honors that go out to people that are more than just the pro players.
Cast your votes now for Best New Podcast.
Hey!
It's not us.
It's probably not us.
It could be us. I'll vote for us.
Okay. Three. We'll get three votes.
Okay, four. Your girlfriend will vote for us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't think she gets a vote, though. She's not... She hasn't reached pro
point. I'd say my ex-wife would get a vote, but she's never listened to us.
She wouldn't even like the page.
My mom liked our page on Facebook. Oh, by the way, we have a page on Facebook. It's at your Insta. My mom
likes
it,
our page.
So you should, too. Just saying. My mom's pretty cool.
Back on topic a little bit.
Okay.
The thing that I think is, you know, we talked a little bit about this, and I know you, Jordan, you talked about this too, this idea that so players who are currently playing can vote, but I think, you know, we talked a lot last episode with the whole, like, legit issue about how crappy the Twitterverse can be for Magic, like, our community just, and we have some very vocal pros and some people on Twitter who are just asshats, but they're in a prominent position.
Mm-hmm.
And are able to sort of coerce people, and I've watched people like attack people on Twitter for their ballot, which should not happen. They should be, honestly, the voting should probably be private in the first place, but
yeah,
that would fix a lot of the problem. But like that are just like, well, come on, vote for, you know, Chris Bikula. He needs it. You know what I mean? Or Huey only missed by one vote last year. Come on, guys. Like, you know what? If he missed by a vote. You know, and that's not a judgment about a person or a player. I mean, the Baseball Hall of Fame 2 years in a row now has failed to induct a player. The votes were not there. Right. So, you know, if someone doesn't deserve to get in, that we shouldn't have these personal crusades even be possible. Mm. They get in based on merit, or they don't.
Yeah. I agree. Like, who's the guy? Huey Jensen is the other guy he's on his last chance, I guess.
Chris Pecula.
That's Pecula.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, Huey's another guy that people are talking about too, right? Like,
Huey was the one who missed by one vote last time.
Oh, okay. I completely agree, you know. That's kind of like, I'll alienate a slight amount of our audience, but the Pete Rose dilemma, you know, like in baseball, a guy that just was a really good contributor to the game isn't allowed in for a couple of things. And Pete, there's the debate of, you know, I guess it's a little different, but.
No, he's actually banned from baseball. He's not allowed in. I think a better analogy is the PED. People are not voting for, you know, Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire. Because, you know, and this isn't a good comparison here, but like they've decided they're not worthy of the hall, so they don't get in. It isn't like, oh well, they should get in. You know, it's, hey, I don't want to vote for them. That's that. It's just the coercion that upsets me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's difficult.
I really like this, right? Like I'm a history guy. I'm someone that likes the idea of how people can get into something like this, and when it just seems like, oh yeah, arbitrarily won 150 pro points, for which it'll be for next year, and never have been in trouble. Is that the barrier we want? Reach this arbitrary level, and hey, we could vote for you.
There's some comments on this as well, and someone had mentioned that they were upset, because like John Finkel is an example. He's only going to vote for three people. He said so in his article. And people were upset about that. Like, well, there's other deserving people. That's bad logic. Because by that logic, if we should always just vote and always make sure someone's getting in, then why not? We made a Hall of Fame, and X amount of people automatically get in by our, you know, by our stats. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be five every year. You know, it doesn't have to be none. But it just, I don't know. It's the Magic community. We put our own spin on this, I guess, and we think, you know, this should happen. And it's, I guess it's nice because everyone has their own, like, you know, like, hey, I really want this person to get in. But there could be so much more done with this. And he even mentioned the article, the idea of, like, once you have a more expanded Hall of Fame, then you could, like, take it on, like, take articles from the Hall of Fame and, like, pieces on, like, tour with GPs. So you would actually have, like, oh, man, I'm going to this GP so I can see the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, anything that introduces people yearly, like I'm really proud of baseball actually for passing up a 2 years of an opportunity, because when you have someone get inducted every single year, it cheapens it. And you go, yeah, he got in because he had to. We needed somebody out of 2013 when you could literally just go, like when you could literally like, yeah, this guy is a Hall of Famer. He is one of the best people to ever play Magic the Gathering. And like what, like I think in this article, it says something about have a players hall so we can go, yeah, he is the best player to ever play the game of Magic. Not, well, I mean, he was good in 2013, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, I'm with you. I like how he says, I'd get rid of the Pro Tour Hall of Fame entirely, rebrand it, make a Pro Tour Hall of Fame players wing, and anybody elected to the Pro Tour Hall of Fame would automatically be inducted in this wing, and then all that. Yeah. So I don't know.
I think another thing, so I grew up in the Akron area, and we have the Football Hall of Fame, right down the road. We went to that. That was a family thing. They're like, oh man, let's go see this. We also have the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame up in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Once again, that wasn't something to go to. But
right.
The Magic Hall of Fame, like he even said, like, you know, there's not a dedicated website for it. There's a it's important for like 3 weeks when everyone's voting, and then they do the inductions, and no one cares. The people who are in the Hall of Fame just use it as their little bio piece, like Hall of Fame gamer, you know, such and such writes it, and that's it. Like, there's nothing else about it. And there's just such a, with so many things that Wizards has done right, with, like, how they've, you know, with coverage, like, trying to adapt and everything else, it just seems like this is such a glaring omission. Like, they have this Hall of Fame, and Morgan, you make a good point. Maybe they have a plan for this. Mm-hmm. But it seems like they've had enough years to plan for it, mm-hmm. that this is something that it's got to be addressed. I mean, right?
I agree.
No,
I agree.
You bring up such a good point about, like, the Hall of Fame should be something to be experienced by players that aren't in it. Like, it's funny, you talked about, you know, as a kid, you would go to the Football Hall of Fame and kind of revel in that amazingness. I feel the same way with, like, the Cincinnati Reds Museum. You can go literally every single time you're down there or up there, and it'd be exciting. I feel like Wizards, Hasbro, dude, they have enough money to do something like this. Like, it wouldn't even have to be a big deal, but, like, a website would be nice. I wouldn't mind a physical building, like, that you could go, and I don't know how you do that for Magic, but, like...
I think...
You know...
The guy in the article said, like, that it was, like, a traveling show. And they did this for Las Vegas, GP Las Vegas, right? They had the art exhibits that they had set up. You know, you could do that for, like, any GP. Like, hey, this, you know, this GP is going to have the Hall of Fame attraction, essentially. Like, because I don't know how well a building would work. I mean, I'm sure it would be in Seattle.
Right. Crappy location.
But it would be interesting, at least somewhere you can go look at, or at least a website. Like, a website seems like the most basic thing. Like, who's the Hall of Fame? I don't know. Let me check the Hall of Fame website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that'd be really cool. A Hall of Fame t-shirt would be sweet, you know? Like, I think we're all saying, like, just a bunch of different iterations of something sweet. Like, we could probably get off of it, I guess, but, like, I hate bashing it in, but the Hall of Fame should be something to be experienced and something that should matter. Not this thing that we, like you said, we talked about for 3 weeks.
It just doesn't.
Right. I'm going to get up, like, actually, now that we're talking, I'm not going to get up at 6 a.m. tomorrow to see. Because do I really care to see LFV unanimously get voted in? Like,
oh, no. That's the other thing. He won't get unanimously voted in. He'll get, like, 98% because Finkel and Bud never got 100%. So LFV can't get 100%. That's the logic of our community.
Because they say, oh, they're just obviously better, so we can't, right.
No, so the people talking about the game, the system, so it's like, well, okay, so for example, Huey, you know, Jensen, who didn't get in last year, somebody will vote for him on their ballot as their fifth slot instead of LSV, the logic being LSV is going to get in anyway.
Yeah, see, that's so wrong. Like, because then it seems more about filling up the hall with everybody.
That's exactly it.
Right, like, you and I eventually are, it's like the succession to the throne, since that's all the rage now. Somebody is, like, there was a guy on our local news, he's, like, 67th in line to the throne, and, like, he, like, talks about it, and it's, like, part of his, like, you know, like, he's a jokester about it, but, like, it's kind of become, like, oh, hey, man, when are you gonna, you know, take the throne? Well, since that kid was born, you know, like, me and you and Morgan, we're all in line for the Hall of Fame. Just, there's a bunch of people ahead of us. Stupid LSV and Huey Jensen.
No, we're not line for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
no,
we're totally not
line for the Hall of Fame. No, I follow the logic.
Right, but, like, but, yeah, those guys are gonna get in anyway, so vote me in. I'm an outside, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, vote for the Dark Horse. It's the same thing. It's the same thing when people are playing Magic and they get all nervous and they want to make the pro play, right? So they don't make the correct play because they want to do something fancy because it makes them look like they're a better player and they're not. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's ridiculous.
I agree. And I mean, I'm sure. I want to believe that there's something out there. Like, there's something that's going to reward people just because of how expansive the community is being. Like, you know, I think that when everything started out, it was small. It was just something that was not as significant as it is now. We have so many voices. We have so many people that want to talk about this game that didn't exist back then. And this game is becoming more and more popular every day. People are just becoming more familiar with it. I mean, at least within American culture, there's a geek revolution that's sort of happening where being geeky is cool. And in my opinion, it's always been cool because I've always been a geek. But
you were a geek before it was cool.
Clearly
a
hipster. Yep. this culture craze sort of does drive Magic's popularity a little bit, but it's just the also fact that it is consistently for the past 20 years, carried a player base, which is something that not many fantasy-based games can say. And yeah. I think that that is hugely something that needs more people to be involved with being, you know, held in regard to it, you know? So many people have kept this game going and continue to make it grow. And for them not to have something to honor those people, I mean, that's just going to come back and become a negative thing. Because after 20 years, you know, how many people know a whole lot about Magic history? You know, how many new players actually learn about the history of the game? Probably not very many. But if we had a Hall of Fame, if we had something that you could drive people to and be like, this is where it starts, these are the names that you should know, these are the things and events that drive the game and make it the way that it is today. You know, if you imbue a history into this game, you make it so much more deeper and you really gain the connection with the player base. And I think that's something that would be hugely, you know, that everyone would hugely profit from. If that was done.
Well, that's good. Well,
it's funny that you actually talk about, like, nobody knows the history, as, like, right before the show, I'm sitting here watching semifinals of Pro Tour Dark Ascension.
Yeah.
To watch whatever the best game, I still haven't seen it yet, the best game in Magic's history, or whatever, arguably. And, like, I hear this, and I'm like, oh, what is that? There's no place for me to just go and relive, yeah. Like, or the Miracle Bonfire from Worlds last year, right? Like, the only way you would know about that is if you were around today, or if someone told you. And that's not a good way to build a game, right? Like, I'm sitting here watching this video is an hour and 54 minutes and 0.3 seconds. Like, holy cow, I have to watch an hour and 54 minutes to maybe see the part that everybody talks about for forever? So... Yeah. I totally hear it. It's just funny that it applied directly to something we were doing.
Exactly.
You know, 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, or even like, you know, watching things like Finkel play Magic. Like, we all hear about John Finkel, and like, but like, how many times have I seen him actually play Magic? A handful of times, because he still plays. But like, in his heyday, like, you know, I want to see that. I want there to be a place where that is like at the forefront, and not just something like I have to do a Google search for. Like, why not? We have these videos, we have these archives, just put them up there and being like, this is, you know, Magic, this is, you know, this is our not our Pro Tour Hall of Fame, but just in general, this is our museum, our place where you can go learn about the history of this game if you, you know, if you're passionate about it. And that's a perfect place for a website.
No, I think you're scratching, we're hitting the surface now of an issue that they've kind of talked about before, and other people talked about with Hasbro. So Hasbro is a big corporation. They just want to make money, right?
Sure.
But Wizards, though, like, they're kind of allowed to do their own thing, but they still have this over their shoulder. So, like, Hasbro wants to attract new players, okay? It's hard to attract new players when you're advertising your 20-year-old game. You know what I mean? No one goes and goes, did you hear that hot new game, Chess?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay? So Hasbro, I'm assuming, is afraid of the stigma that happens, you know what I mean, when you do that. But so I think it's a weird balance. But I mean, even going back to Chess, like I just said, I mean, you guys all know Bobby Fischer. You know what I mean? Like, you know that name, and you maybe don't play chess ever. So there's definitely room for both, I think. But I know there's probably a line that they have to walk, but something has to exist. I mean, something has to pull that together.
I agree. And I truly believe that at some point in time it will, and you know, once it's announced, especially with there being so much discussion about it right now, I don't think there was nearly as much discussion about it last year as there was this year. And I think that there's just a lot more voices that are clamoring for a change. So but yeah, any change would be good. I think that it is one of the many things that one of the few things, I should say, not many things, one of the few things that Wizards should definitely reevaluate and change for the better. But we'll kind of go ahead and wrap up our discussion. We'll save our question for the week for next week. And we just kind of want to re-mention that we do have a giveaway going on for a At Your End Step playmat. Now, you can enter this contest multiple different ways. The first way is you can leave a comment on the MTG cast post for either episode 8 or episode 9. We'll be checking both. But it'll be those two episode links, episode 8 and episode 9. Or you can follow us on Twitter and retweet the contest tweet that is on there. It's specifically mentioned on there, so you just look through our tweet line and retweet that specific tweet. We need 10 unique total, either comments or follows and retweets. Now be sure you do follow us and retweet. That's the important part. You can't just follow us or just retweet us. You have to do both. But the contest will end on the 13th, and if we do have a collection between both comments and, you know, follows and retweets on Twitter, if we do have a total of 10 or more unique ones, we will go ahead and do a drawing of those people within that did follow us on Twitter between that time period and retweet that post, and between people that commented on the episode links. So definitely spread the word. Get people involved in it. Obviously, thank you for everyone that has gone ahead and done that. We have seen a lot of new followers to our Twitter profile. We always appreciate it. Also, something that you definitely want to check out is Jordan recently did a podcast with the Manipool guys. So definitely, you know, check out their podcast. Check out the episode with Jordan on it. Check out their backlog. We do appreciate them allowing Jordan to be on there and hopefully not make a mess of himself or the podcast. but he said he had a really good time with those guys. So, you know, we thank you, so much for allowing a member of our team to be on there. It's really huge for us just because we are still starting out. I mean, this is only episode 9. But, you know, we're coming close to episode 10, and that's kind of why we wanted to organize a giveaway. Cause, you know, 10 episodes, it's a landmark. It's double digits. You know, it feels good. I can't say that it doesn't. And, so definitely please get involved. We want to give away this playmat. We don't want this to not fire. I mean, we want you to be our 8th. Will you be our 8th? Or I guess 10th in this particular case. But 8th. For drafting purposes.
Wow. This is not pandering.
It's not pandering. We just want you to enjoy it and say that you do.
Just say it. We need it. We actually survive off of likes.
Yeah, if you don't validate us, then what are we doing here?
Yeah, that's the best.
But no, there are. I mean, let me just take a look here. I just really feel like we've gotten a lot of love on Twitter recently. I know my phone's been blown up, and you know, we definitely want to open it up more, and that's why we're throwing in the Twitter thing as well. Just so we have, you know, people that can have ample opportunity to enter in. Also, we have a Facebook page. So if you guys want to go on Facebook and like us, that's great. And then you can actually find the links to the Twitter and everything like that, so you can enter in the contest. But it'll be an easy way for us to post new episodes that go up and also interact with you guys if you have any questions or concerns for us. So go like our page, follow us on Twitter, just, you know, enter in this contest. It's really great. It's really fun. It's completely free on your end. So why not, right? Come on, who doesn't want a free play, Matt? You get them everywhere anyway.
Ours is better than those ones.
Ours is sweet, though.
Yeah.
Ours is legitimately well. Sweet. I guess we should actually describe the playmat. I guess
Twitter
we haven't really
logo.
Done that.
Don't describe it. You have to follow us on Twitter and then look at the picture to see.
That's true. So it is the logo on Twitter, so we won't describe what the logo looks like, but it's a logo. But it also has our Twitter information and our email address in the bottom right-hand corner as well. So definitely allows people to kind of ask about it and tell them and allow you to tell them to where to go, basically. So, but I mean, that is everything that we really wanted to talk about today. It is close to 11:30 at night, and we've had a busy day. We actually just came back from a cookout with a couple of our friends. So, we're kind of sleepy, kind of tired, and I hope that you have still enjoyed our mad ramblings about standard Magic as well as the Hall of Fame. We appreciate you guys as always, and thank you so much for being listeners. We'll be back for episode 10, double digits. It's going to be big. Hopefully we'll have an announcement of someone winning a playmat. If not, we'll just yell at you guys and be really disappointed like your parents.
Well, if nobody wins a playmat, then we really won't be yelling at anybody. We'll just be like, oh, nobody listens to our, oh.
I guess that's true. Well, we'll still be disappointed. In general.
Yeah.
But thanks again. Jordan, Mike, thank you as always. You guys were great. keep it up. Keep up the good work.
I feel like that was like a one-night stand comment. You were great. It slapped me on the ass as I walked out the door.
Good night, America. I was great.
I love you, Magnetti McCarl, and I host the best podcast.
Morgan Magnetti McCarl says you was awesome, and you know it.
Thanks, baby. Money's on the table.
Oh, and he's saying this to acidic slime.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly.
Yeah.
Every day. Every day. But no, seriously, guys. We'll see you guys next week, and thanks again for listening. Goodbye.